knives, guns, swords, fire, creatures from other planets. I'm not talking about my last family reunion. It's part two of our Final Fantasy retrospective coming up next. Welcome back to Space Castle. It's your clubhouse for all things nerdy. My name is DT, and as promised, it's part two of the Final Fantasy retrospective. Last week, I took a deep dive into Final Fantasies 1 through 8, and this week, we're going to be taking a look at Final Fantasies 9 through 15, leading up to the imminent release of Final Fantasy 16 in 2023. Guys, let's just get right into it, shall we? Because, man, this is one I've been excited to talk about since last week, and I had to wait until part two to do it. Final Fantasy IX, released in 2000 and directed by Hiroyuki Ito, who also directed Final Fantasy VI and acted as the battle designer for both of the games. This one is probably my favorite game in the entire series. I know that might be blasphemous to all of you 6 and 7 lovers, but Final Fantasy IX is where it's at for me. It scaled back all the steampunk and cyber elements and reintroduced more of a full-fledged fantasy look and feel. The characters in the story are incredible, and even Hironobu Sakaguchi himself once said that it's his favorite game in the entire series. This game had the luxury of a much longer development cycle than Final Fantasy VIII, with this game actually being in development before Final Fantasy VIII was even finished. And thank goodness, because all the characters here are so much more fleshed out, the story is deep and engrossing and makes complete sense from beginning to end, which is kind of refreshing at this point, honestly. And the team even had the chance to implement new ideas and evolutions for the series, including the Active Time Event. If you're not familiar, the Active Time Event allows you, the player, when prompted, to switch between groups of characters to see what's going on with other characters that are not currently in your controlled party. So even if a character isn't in your main party, they still get a complete story with wonderful character beats and moments as the game progresses. And let's talk about those characters, because holy shit. Adalbert, Steiner, and Vivi are not only my favorite Final Fantasy characters of all time, I think they might be two of the best in the entire series. The themes of life and death, what it means to be alive, self-discovery, and finding one's purpose are fantastic and wholly encompassed with both Vivi and Steiner. These characters are so well-written and so fleshed out that I can still to this day recall what they sound like in my head as I was playing it for the first time. And by the way, if Baku, the leader of the Tantalus Theater Troupe, does not sound like the great John Goodman in your head, you played the game wrong. I'm just kidding. The world is grand and epic, the story is fantastic, and for me, it's the pinnacle of the franchise and an achievement in video games up to that point. And apparently many others have agreed with me, because while the game didn't sell quite as well as the absolute juggernauts that were Final Fantasy VII and VIII, it has sold over 5.5 million copies just on PlayStation 1 alone. It was a wonderful way to end the series run on the original PlayStation, and just a lovely intentional look back at the games that came before it. And following that up is Final Fantasy X, and honestly, this is where things get a little weird for me personally. I never owned a PlayStation 2. From this point on, I kind of diverted away from PlayStation towards the GameCube and eventually onto the Xboxes, so my first PlayStation since the original was actually the PS4. I did, however, spend a ton of time with Final Fantasy X when it came out, as I played through it with my good friend Pat in high school in his game room. The two of us played through much of the game together. But because I didn't own it personally, I don't really have that same level of attachment to it as I do previous games in the franchise. I do, however, have enough experience with it to speak about it with some authority, though, and I don't really love it. The game took a lot of risks, and while some of those risks are very interesting and admirable, to me it feels like it was a huge step back from Final Fantasy IX, and it created some trends in the series that honestly haven't really sit well with me since. Final Fantasy X was released in 2001, and it was co-directed and produced by Yoshinori Katase. It's the first game in the series to feature full voice acting. It's also the first game to not feature an overworld. And it also marks a move back to more ambiguous storytelling. Which is kind of weird, because the game is almost overloaded with cutscenes and dialogue that are honestly terribly written. But the game still needed multiple direct sequels to fill out and complete the story. Guys, I don't love this game. Though I know a lot of people do, and I completely respect that, but for me, the game suffers very much from being much too linear, despite also being very vague with its narrative. I didn't latch onto it or any of the characters like I did in previous Final Fantasy games. The story didn't really do it for me, and it didn't really motivate me to get back onto the PlayStation bandwagon. But people really, really love this game. It was well received by critics, and it was the fastest PlayStation game to sell 2 million copies and then 4 million copies. Less than a year after its Japanese release, the game has sold over 5 million copies. That's fucking bonkers. And I'm fully aware that I'm in the minority with this one, and I accept it. If you guys love Final Fantasy X, more power to you. And after that comes Final Fantasy XI, and yeah, themes keep getting kind of awkward for me here personally, because I decided to do a retrospective on a series in which I have not played a single moment of one of the main games. But I do have a good reason for that. See, Final Fantasy XI was released in 2002, and it's an MMORPG. Friends, I'm just not a fan of the MMORPG genre, despite many attempts. I tried Star Wars Galaxies, I tried World of Warcraft, Middle-Earth Online. I tried Guild Wars 2, which I hated despite really loving the first Guild Wars. I tried Anarchy Online, DC Universe Online, the list goes on and on. There's really only one MMO I got into and I thoroughly enjoyed, and, spoiler alert, I actually get to talk about it later in this episode. But for now, we're talking Final Fantasy XI, and honestly, the game was something of a pioneer because it was Square's first attempt at a massive online Final Fantasy game. It was the first MMORPG playable on both the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox 360, and it actually seemed to be pretty well regarded by critics. I never got the chance to play it myself, but I would see friends playing at LAN parties in between rounds of like Unreal Tournament and Call of Duty. I'd look over the shoulder and I'd ask questions like whether the game was good or not, and they'd always say something to the effect of like, kinda. I'd ask if I should give it a shot and download it and pay the subscription fee and if I'd like it, and they'd say, I don't know, probably not. I mean, it's really grindy, it's kind of tedious, and everything kind of takes forever. And I'd be like, but you're still playing it, and like you're paying for the monthly fee, right? And then my friends would always respond with very sheepish, yeah. And that's largely my perception of MMOs in the early 2000s. Games that were simultaneously addictive and yet also somewhat unenjoyable for their tedium and gameplay cycles. It really wasn't until I got much older that I started to kind of understand the appeal of building up a character in an MMO, building up your guild with your friends, and achieving high levels of status in an online world. And again, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But still, Final Fantasy XI was deemed one of the highest grossing Final Fantasy games up to that point. However, it's not because it set the world on fire with sales and subscriptions, but it was because of that $12 monthly fee that Square just would never ease up on. So I mean, it was good for them at the time, I guess. It wasn't a smash hit, but it made them a buttload of money. And now I get to talk about Final Fantasy XII. Finally, I get to talk about another good Final Fantasy, and it's actually something of a return to actual fantasy, too. I love this game for its return to fantasy with sky pirates and evil empires and rebellions and whatnot, and I love the logical and fun gameplay changes that Final Fantasy XII introduced, as opposed to the changes made in X, which, sorry, I know we're several minutes removed from talking about it, but I still feel like Final Fantasy X was a huge step backwards. Released in 2006, Final Fantasy XII was co-directed by now veteran Final Fantasy director Hiroyuki Ito, and it was also co-directed by Hiroshi Minagawa, who was actually a big player in the production of Final Fantasy Tactics. Now, I'm not going to be getting into Final Fantasy Tactics in this series, but it is actually a very enjoyable game, and its influence is very apparent in the look and feel of Final Fantasy XII. Most notably, because both Final Fantasy Tactics and Final Fantasy XII take place in the same world of Ivalice. Like I said, the game deals with empires waging war, sky pirates trying to make their way in the world, a princess escaping to create a rebellion of sorts. The whole thing has this wonderful Star Wars feel to it, and it's not the smallest of reasons for which I enjoy it so much. The game also did away with random battle encounters, which veteran RPG players have a serious love-hate relationship with. Personally, I think the removal of it actually totally adds to the immersion of gameplay, and it adds more of a seamless feel between battles and exploration and travel, and I really, really dig it. The characters are wonderful, with Bosch and Fran being standouts for me and general fan favorites. A lot of people still to this day do a lot of cosplay with those characters, and it's awesome. The themes of war, oppression, and freedom are poignant and engaging, and the game is just really fun to play and explore. Development actually began in 2000, and the extra time spent on Final Fantasy XII really shows. The care with which they changed up the core systems, like getting rid of random encounters, the semi-real-time combat systems, which I actually think act as like a precursor to battle systems in later games, the quality of the voice acting, and the satisfaction of the story are just, they're just peak fucking Final Fantasy, guys. It's one of the highest rated games in the series, and for good reason, with near perfect scores across the board. It received several Game of the Year awards, and it sold almost 2.5 million copies in Japan alone in just its first 2 weeks after release. And as remasters and whatnot come out, it still continues to sell millions of copies across multiple consoles. It's a great game, and it is still worth playing to completion to this day. And then Square kind of fucked it all up with Final Fantasy XIII. Okay, if you haven't noticed, I have something of a hot and cold relationship with the Final Fantasy games that came after number 6. I loved 7 despite its weirdness and its shortcomings. I don't really like 8. 9, I think, is a crown jewel in the franchise, and I hate 10. 11, we can kind of skip talking about again for reasons I've already mentioned before, and 12, I really enjoyed. And now we're back to me being cold again with Final Fantasy 13. Released in late 2009 in Japan and in early 2010 worldwide, it was the first mainstream Final Fantasy to be directed by Motomo Toriyama, who had actually previously cut his directorial teeth on Final Fantasy X2. It was also simultaneously released on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 worldwide, which was actually something of a departure from being a PlayStation exclusive series for a number of years. One good thing that Final Fantasy 13 did right away was the decision to keep out the random encounters just like number 12. However, the game is so linear that it doesn't really make a difference. And when I say that the game is linear, I absolutely mean it. Do you remember all those jokes and those memes about the game essentially being just a series of hallways and corridors? Those are only slight exaggerations. The game is perhaps the most linear in the series, and maybe even more linear than Final Fantasy X. And a lot of people railed against this. Motomo Toriyama felt that the backlash or disappointment in the linearity of the game came from a Western perspective, in his words. He thought that gamers around the world had become too accustomed to open-world-style gameplay, but he insisted that such an open world made telling a compelling story very difficult. Never mind that they did it incredibly well with Final Fantasy IX, but... I mean, I'm of the mind that the argument doesn't really hold water when your game is both incredibly linear and yet the story is also really kind of lacking, as is the case with Final Fantasy XIII. Said story takes place on two sort of twin planets, Pulse and Cocoon, who are at odds with one another. Anyone on Cocoon who comes in contact with the objects or beings from Pulse are killed or purged immediately for fear that they'll be transformed into Pulse beings called Lassie, which are apparently hostile. The game's story is kind of a convoluted mess, in my opinion, and it once again required multiple sequels to try and complete the story. I never really found any of the characters particularly compelling, and many of the characters just feel honestly cliche, especially for Final Fantasy. And Final Fantasy XIII received a range of reviews and scores across the board, from 5 and 10s to 10 out of 10s. It's super divisive. I think it's really boring. I think it's very linear, but it's really, really pretty to look at. And that's about all I've got to say about it. So guys, you remember when I said I'd get to talk about an MMORPG that I actually really got into and enjoyed? Well, guess what? We're hot again with the Final Fantasy series, and that game is Final Fantasy XIV. Now, I know that Final Fantasy XIV got off to a very rocky start. Square basically blew up the original iteration of the game, rebuilt it from the ground up, and at great risk and cost to the company. But hot damn did that gamble pay off, because not only is Final Fantasy XIV a worthy addition to the franchise, it's also the one MMORPG that broke through my strong dislike of the genre, and it left me both impressed and very happy that I gave it a real shot. Now, I won't go into everything that happened with Final Fantasy XIV's initial release and how bad it was, but suffice it to say, it's real fucking bad. It was a massive failure. Shit at Square was not good and things were looking pretty fucking glum, but this goddamn rock star named Naoki Yoshida, who is lovingly known as Yoshi P, was pulled in to basically audit the game's problems and figure out how to fix it. His passion and his leadership led him to being named the new director and producer on the game, and his plan was to blow the whole fucking thing up and really listen to the teams of people working on the game to develop ideas on how to restructure and rebuild the game from the ground up into something really, really special. I highly recommend watching NoClip's documentary on YouTube on how all this played out. There's 3 parts, and it's incredibly well put together and wildly compelling. You're going to fall in love with a super enigmatic figure, Yoshi P, and despite his really cool and calm exterior, you're going to be blown away by the ridiculous amount of stress and work he went through as a director and producer to fix this game, and in a lot of ways, kind of fucking saved Square Enix too, like no joke. The result of all the hard work and the long, long hours that Yoshi P and his teams put into the game paid off. The relaunch of the game became a smash global hit, is honestly, I think, the benchmark upon which all MMOs should be measured, and it's just a joy to play. Combat is super fun, character progression is wonderful, the world is lovely to explore, crafting strikes a perfect balance between being actual work but also being super satisfying and enjoyable, the story is compelling and filled with all sorts of fun characters and fantastic boss fights. It's an excellent game and the only MMO I've found to be really worth the monthly subscription fee. And one of the reasons I am so damn excited about Final Fantasy XVI is that Yoshi P is the producer on that game, and his love and enthusiasm for gaming is so genuine and infectious. He just wants to create excellent experiences for audiences, and I think that's going to come through in spades with Final Fantasy XVI. But before we can get to that, we got to talk about Final Fantasy XV. And guess what, guys? I'm back to being cold on Final Fantasy titles. I mean, fuck, like, Final Fantasy games are kind of like Star Trek movies, honestly, where every other one is good and the ones in between just aren't great. Look, I'm not saying that Final Fantasy XV is a bad game. It's just not a great one. It's got a lot of problems that stem from its initial development. It largely feels aimless and lacks identity, and honestly, I just don't think it ever really finds itself. Released simultaneously for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in late 2016, the game actually kind of requires you to watch a feature-length CGI movie and multiple animated shorts to understand what the fuck is even going on when the game starts. It's kind of a huge strike for me because the movie isn't great and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. This sense of aimlessness permeates the entire game, in my opinion, and it just automatically sets the wrong tone right off the bat. The game is directed by Hajime Tabata, whose previous director credits are actually largely Final Fantasy spin-offs for the PSP. He was actually originally going to be a co-director with Tetsuya Nomura, but took over full director duties in 2013. The game actually had a really bizarre development, which started in 2006 as a Final Fantasy XIII spin-off. So I am not a big fan of Tetsuya Nomura. The Kingdom Hearts games are pretty much his baby, and I think they're mostly nonsense. We've all seen the YouTube videos where countless content creators breathlessly try to outline the plot of Kingdom Hearts and make sense of it all, and yeah, I personally don't have 12 hours to devote to doing it here, and I honestly don't want to. I don't know a ton of the history behind Final Fantasy XV's development, but I have a personal inkling that Tabata-san inherited a bit of a mess with Nomura's initial direction, and he probably did the best he could with what he was given. So, Final Fantasy XV follows the story of Prince Noctis and his three companions, Gladiolus, Prompto, and Ignis. They follow the standard Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle tropes, and despite being relative cliches, are probably the most compelling thing about the game, honestly. And I think the reason why so many people are willing to forgive the game's many shortcomings. The characters banter as they travel around together and fight monsters and soldiers, and they're relatively fun to spend time with, until they start repeating the same bits of dialogue over and over and over and over again while you're traveling from point to point. That becomes a little bit of a problem because this game is a series of very large open areas. It's not quite open world, but close. And while that feels fun and interesting as the game first starts, you quickly learn that the world is lacking in things to do, and many of the side quests just feel like generic kill, gather, escort missions from your standard MMORPGs. You really kind of start to feel like you could be spending your time better by just playing Final Fantasy XIV and have an enjoyable MMO experience with friends rather than play XV by yourself with diminishing returns on enjoyment. The story I didn't really think was anything to write home about, and it shifts from okay to tedious to kind of nonsense. But the combat is actually really quite fun and really well done. It feels like a precursor to the combat system in Final Fantasy VII Remake, which in turn seems like it might be a precursor to the combat we'll see in Final Fantasy XVI, so that's pretty cool. It's very fluid, it's very fun, ranks right up there with the characters in terms of being one of the most compelling things about the game and reasons to play it. So all in all, Final Fantasy XV largely just feels kind of there. It's divisive. I mean, I know some people who have played it and enjoyed it, played through it multiple times. I know folks who've played through it once, thought it was just okay, and never touched it again. And I know people who are so painfully bored by it that they just kind of dropped it early on and never picked it up again. I am personally somewhere in the middle group. I mean, it's got some interesting ideas and the combat is stellar, but it never feels like a cohesive game with its own sense of identity. There's too much filler, there's too much really weird stuff like all the characters camping out in a Winnebago surrounded by real-world branded camping gear, and your airship being a four-seater luxury car is just too much for me. I like a lot more fantasy in my Final Fantasy, honestly. It's a weird one. Reviews and scores for the game are pretty average too, ranging anywhere from 3 out of 5 to 7 or 8 out of 10. And of course, you've got some 9s and 10s out there from folks who feel like the franchise can never do any wrong. As of this podcast, the game has sold over 10 million copies, though I honestly can't help but wonder how many of those are stashed in GameStop storage rooms. Sorry, I know a lot of people love the game, I'm sorry. But this brings us full circle back to Final Fantasy XVI. It's slated to come out in summer of 2023, but let's be honest, it's probably most likely going to come out in winter of 2023, or if we're being really honest, probably actually spring of 2024, knowing Square's track record. I'm stupid excited about it. If you haven't checked out part one of this two-parter, jump back to last week's episode for a recap of the most recent trailer Square has released for the game and catch up on what we know. The game, like I said before, is produced by Naoki Yoshida, aka Yoshi P, with Tetsuya Nomura nowhere to be found. And it's under development by the same division that works so tirelessly and enthusiastically on Final Fantasy XIV's rebuild. Yoshida's goal is to turn things around for the franchise and bring it back to the absolute height of RPG popularity and he wants to bring it back to fully actual fantasy, at least for this entry in the series. All those things sound fucking awesome to me, and I've got all the trust in the world that Yoshi P will pull it off. Guys, thank you so much for coming with me on this full retrospective look at the Final Fantasy franchise. I know it's not what you normally hear on Space Castle, but I had a blast recording these, and I really hope you enjoyed them too. If you did, and if you'd like to hear more things like this on Space Castle, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Space Castle Pod, or shoot me an email at spacecastlepodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to become a supporter of the show, you'd be greatly appreciated, and you'll get all kinds of cool perks on our Discord, and you'll get stickers and stuff, and you can do that at patreon.com/spacecastlepod. And you should absolutely join that Discord. We've got a bunch of rad people there, people from indie podcasters to movie and gaming fanatics just like you. As always, you'll find a link to join the Discord in the show notes. We're always having a blast there, and we'd love to have you. Also, please be sure and share this episode with a friend, and thanks so much for listening to Space Castle. It's your clubhouse for all things nerdy. My name is DT. I hope you have a fantastic week. Cheers, and be good.